We're doing Drashot Aran. We're up to page Shin Ayin Chet. And the Ran had discussed, En davar ra yored milmala, nothing evil comes from heaven. That Hashem does not cause evil, and anything that he does cause must have good purpose. And so anytime a person is punished, it is because it's going to help him straighten himself and go on a correct path. We discussed in our last class that not everything painful is from heaven. That's another concept. He's saying anything that Hashem is causing a person to undergo, that's got to be positive. It's got to push him in the positive way. Ah, there are things which you say, how's that moving someone in a positive direction? You know, I have a 10-month-old baby that keeps suffering from mosquito bites. What did he do? What does he deserve mosquito bites for? So that's, I'm saying not, even though he's saying any punishment from heaven, that's there to help a person to guide him to a correct path. But he did not say that every type of suffering is a punishment from heaven. That's a totally different question. But he goes on and says, the punishments, we're on page Shinayin Chet, the punishments of the world to come, they are not for the purpose of bettering the person. Because once a person passes away, that's it. He's not going to straighten himself anymore. Straightening ourselves is the task of this world. You come to the world to come, then the purpose of the punishment is not to straighten the person. Whatever level you've brought your soul to, when you pass away, that's where it's going to be forever. And you can't say that a person is punished because that will help other people in this world become better people. Because no one knows about it. We don't know what's going on in the other worlds. So it can't be that the punishment is for that person to be better, nor is it for us to be better, for other people to be better. Yes?
Well, I think you just answered the first part of my question, which was, what punishments are we talking about in Olam Haba? You said we don't know, so I guess we'll have to leave it at that. But the second part is what about when we say Kaddish for the deceased, or dedicate something the Ilui Neshama? Does that not, you know, uplift them even in the world to come?
It says in Chazal that it does.
So how come Ron says here that once they're dead, Zehu, you know, Gemara?
I think those are two different realms. One is, can the soul benefit? Another is, can the soul change? The fact that you can give it certain benefits by doing merits on behalf of that soul, that's one concept. But he's addressing the question of, can the soul change?
Meaning actively.
Can a person become a better person once he's died? And the answer is no. You have to accomplish in this world. The fact that on some level we can do merits on behalf of that soul, that's a different concept. So we said Hashem would only punish if it's for the good. And we can't see why punishing a person after he's died, what good that's going to accomplish. So we have to logically conclude that the punishments in the afterlife are a natural evolvement. Hashem created a world where there's a natural process, and just as if a person sticks his hand into fire, he will get burned, and that's not preordained by Hashem. Ooh, he's going to get burned. That's his fault. By the same token, the life we lead here brings our soul to a point where there's a natural evolvement of the soul in the world to come, and what a person's done wrong, so to speak, pays him back. And it's not Hashem doing it, so to speak. It's a system. Just as a person can't cut off a bone and it won't hurt him, he did it to himself. By the same token, there's part of that natural system where if a person's rebelled against Hashem, he's transgressed against Hashem's will, so then part of that natural evolvement is that there's a certain price that's paid. Okay, I'll give an example, even though I'm not coming to say that that's the definition of what he's saying. I'm giving an example of the concept, okay? let's take a few examples. A person lived in Kiryat Moshe 15 years ago, and he had the opportunity to buy an apartment here for $100,000. That's what apartments were going for 15 years ago. For $125,000, you could buy any one of these homes. That was the going rate. And the person didn't buy. He said, I'll get to it. It doesn't fit my finances. And 15 years later, he wakes up and he can't find an apartment. All those apartments are now worth $1,200,000, $1,400,000. They've quadrupled in price. So now you can't buy an apartment here in this neighborhood for under $350,000, $400,000. So now the person says, Rabban Shalom, why'd you punish me? I didn't punish you. It's a natural outcome of what you did. But I could have had an apartment. I could have bought 15 years ago. Right, but you didn't. So your actions have a natural outcome and it's not a punishment. But I don't like the fact that I don't own an apartment and I could have owned an apartment. That's true, but it's still not a punishment. A person has many opportunities to accomplish. And when we don't, we can't point a finger at heaven and say, well, why am I here? You could imagine a person who could have developed a relationship and didn't. A person who, a lot of people who are adopted have this question, should I open the file? Should I see who my parents were? Because how could I ever forgive them for giving me up for adoption? But maybe if you, sometimes when they speak to the parents, they discover the parents are drug addict, the parents admit having a life where maybe it was in their best interest not growing up with that parent. Sometimes they discover that the parent gave up the child for adoption under circumstances where they had no choice. And they spent their whole life davening and crying for that person. And sometimes they have a totally different, they have a different life. And sometimes they only discover it after the person passed away. There are stories where a child will open the file 30, 40 years later. They could open the file at 18, right? They open the file when they're 16. And suddenly they discover their parents and they go and they find letters and volumes that were written by the parent where the parent says, you know, I wanted to bring you up. You have no idea what pressure. I was all of 15, 16 when I gave birth to you. My parents said they'd disown me. I had no way of feeding you. I tried holding on to you for months. I ate bread. I begged. I worked. I did what I could and I saw that you might not live if I don't give you for adoption. And I didn't have another choice. No one was willing to help me. And in our circumstance, my father was a drunk. My mother was out of the house all the time. If I left you at home, you could die. I had no way of supporting you at the same time. And they read volumes and suddenly they kick themselves and they say, I could have had a relationship with this person. Now at age 60, I'm discovering who my parents were. I could have discovered when I was 20. And I would have seen what a fantastic mother I had. And suddenly they look back, now it's over, now it's gone. Is that a punishment? They made a choice, made a mistaken choice. But now for the rest of their lives, they could walk around beating themselves up, feeling bad. Why don't I have that relationship? Why don't I have a biological mother in my life? I don't have that, and I could have had that. That's what happens when a person passes away. The soul suddenly looks at the world with clarity. And suddenly, all the nonsense that was so important to us, we realize is nonsense. We're no longer connected to the physical body. And then there's clarity, and suddenly you look at all the accomplishments you could have accomplished, and you look at it with such regret. And you say, that's terrible. How did I forgo that? And the fact that we can't change it, and the fact that we have to live with that onward and onward and onward, you look down and you say, what did I do? Or what didn't I do? I could have been close to their bone shown. Look at how far I am. There are things that are so valuable, and I forwent them. And I gave a small example from life. If we multiply that by a few million times, we can understand the frustration of the soul. And so the Ran is saying, punishment isn't necessarily a punishment. Punishment can also be the outcome of our actions, and it's not that Hashem says, I'm going to punish you. But clarity in its own right is a tremendous, tremendous weight in punishing, in suffering, where the soul says, I don't have it. I could have had it and I don't. Yes.
I'm going to disagree with the Ran. I don't think it lets Hashem off the hook. I think Hashem puts you in circumstances and gives you good parents and you have everything you have and it can paralyze you. And you say you're saying you could have made this choice to find a partner. You could have made this choice to have this relationship. But you were given the parents and the upbringing you have, and that impacts upon your capabilities of making those choices.
So, in order to understand that, I think we have to look at the Mabit. The Mabit, in his introduction, in the beginning of his work, Beit Elokim, he writes that we shouldn't think that the world to come gauges every person the same way. How much of Shas did you accomplish? How many times did you review Shas? How many people's lives did you save? So you're saying we have different potentials. And the Mabit says, when we come to the world to come, what we get or don't get is a question of how much of our potential did we realize, and not a question of how much did we necessarily accomplish.
So you're saying that the soul regrets, and that it's not a punishment from Hashem, but Hashem gave you certain parameters.
But then the soul might not regret anything, because a soul that accomplished in accordance with its potential, so then the fact that it had a different potential because it had a certain upbringing and surrounding, it might be 10 times higher. You know, I told a story last week about a true story about an individual who showed up to shul really late. And that individual has family members with all kinds of challenges. I told it last night? Okay. So I'm saying, I look at that person and I say, that's a tzaddik. And I don't know, you know, I better get a good look at him now, because when we come to the world to come, he's going to be way ahead of me up there. I can only marvel at the righteousness of that person. I don't think that you look at the world to come and say it's a question of did you accomplish this much? It's a question of potential.
I guess I'm not looking at it as how Hashem is going to judge the person, because you seem to be talking about how the person was given the
I'm saying this is one way of understanding this. That's what I said. I'm not defining the Ran. I'm giving an example. And I think that a person who realizes their potential or is close to it, even if their potential was diminished because of outside circumstances, I don't think their soul will be regretful at all. I don't think so. I agree with you. That's why I brought the Mabit. It's not a question of how many times did you learn Shas. I don't have the talents to be a doctor, so now I'm not going to come to the world to come and say, oh boy, I could have saved all these lives if I would have been a doctor. But that's not my duty here. And we have tremendous stories in Chazal about people who had their moments. We have to know that in life we have our moments, meaning there are moments when you, yesh kone olamo b'sha'achat, there are people who, in that moment, they accomplish the world. I don't know what type of human being Schindler was before World War II or after World War II. But I do know that in his moment, he accomplished a tremendous amount. Right? I'm saying, so we all have those opportunities. There are opportunities where we make the difference in the world, or we make the difference in certain people's lives.
And I guess what I'm saying is, do not take those moments, and do not take those opportunities. It's not necessarily a shortcoming on our fact that we were not capable of taking the
world. Agreed. I agree.
Even if people self-sabotage and deliberately shortchange themselves.
Agreed.
It's not done out of, oh, I want to do this. It's a lack of capability of doing it.
Agreed. We're, that's why I said we're gauged based on our potential. And our potential is not our choice. We can develop our potential, and we're responsible to develop our potential. And in the course of life, we can shift things in a direction where we will develop our potential, and that is our responsibility. That is. Meaning we do have to work on that. It's, you know my father's line. We are all our parents' survivors. My father used to tell us that growing up. Say, you'll wear a badge saying, I survived the Frankenthal home. Okay? But my father said, but that's no excuse. You have to accomplish anyways. Okay, so we'll pick up here, Mizrachim, next week.